The Tom Woods Show, episode 972.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Men, get yourselves an affordable and top-notch shave using Harry's razors. Just cover three smackers for shipping, and you can claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. That's a $13 value for free when you sign up at harrys.com/woods. Hello, everybody. Tom Woods here, talking today about the fallout from that James Damore memo that appeared on an internal discussion board at Google. Everybody's talking about the fact that Google fired him and what this means. I really want to spend most of the time just talking about a few libertarian ideas that are related to this discussion, because a lot of people seem to be getting it wrong, like really wrong. And it's demoralizing that there are people out there who would get this wrong. I was critical of Google just because I thought if he had written a memo, because people are saying, well, he wrote a memo on a discussion board. I mean, of course he should be forced to go. Well, I don't know, a discussion board, you probably should be able to post things that you think are wrong within reason. I had people say, of course they should let him go. He created a hostile work environment. What, from that memo? I would want to fire the people who consider that memo to have created a hostile work environment. Obviously, they can't handle anything. Really, I mean, so this guy has a different opinion from me. Oh, my goodness. I better stay home from work. It's just totally insane. But anyway, the point is, I had people saying to me, look, Woods, it's a private company. I would have thought that you would support what a private company would do. And I honestly, at this point, I don't know what to say about that anymore. I've addressed that as many times as one can possibly address anything. The idea that libertarians have to accept whatever a private company does, that's the left-wing caricature of libertarianism. Well, it's a private company, so you can't say anything. Yeah, then where would we get the idea of the boycott from? I guess, therefore, boycotts are anti-libertarian? The voluntary decision to abstain from purchasing from some particular supplier is not libertarian, even though it's completely voluntary? Because apparently I'm supposed to accept and be happy about every decision they make. Even when two companies make contradictory decisions, apparently I'm supposed to support both of them simultaneously. Obviously, the point is a libertarian is against the initiation of aggression. That's it. It doesn't mean you can't criticize what a private person or a private company does. Why would it mean that? It just means that you don't use violence against them. So that's what I mean when I say there are some things related to libertarianism that have to do with this that need to be clarified. So the memo itself, you can read. I'll link to it at tomwoods.com/972. It's actually sprinkled with all kinds of statements about the desirability of diversity and some fairly complimentary things said about the left, that the left has compassion for the weak, that the left is relatively open, presumably as compared to the right. Yeah, this is the same left that just fired him. But yeah, this is, I think that these ideas, a lot of the ideas in the memo are much too timid, if anything. But certainly it's not what it's been portrayed as. It's certainly not the caricature that you read about. But you can look at that there. And in terms of the stuff about brain science, I have an article up by Deborah So, who wrote an interesting article in the Globe and Mail about what the current state of the science on that is, about men and women's brains. I'm not going to get into that, except to say that, of course, egalitarianism is part of the leftist worldview. It's one of the key building blocks of it, that if there are differences that we observe in the world, whether it's in income, employment, habits, whatever, these things must indicate something sinister afoot, because there should be equality across all these things. So the a priori presumption is that everybody's exactly equal. Now, yeah, they know some people are smarter than others, but they mean different groups of people really should have exactly the same outcomes. And if they don't, that means something sinister is afoot. Well, I've talked about that too. First of all, a lot of groups that look to be exactly the same aren't. As Thomas Sowell showed, you can have ethnic groups in America that one group is 25 years older on average than another. Why would you think those two groups are going to have the same outcomes? And some groups are distributed geographically differently from others. And so they, some of them will be in high income places. There are a million different factors that can account for different outcomes. But the point is that the left wing view, such as it is, yes, I know there'll be some leftists who are different on this, but by and large, egalitarianism is the defining characteristic of the left. That when they see the world is not the way they expect it to be on the basis of equality, then they're going to go to war with it. They're not going to say, well, maybe there could be something else. Maybe not all differences are culturally manufactured. Maybe there are actual differences between men and women that don't just have to do with the fact that when girls are 6 years old, they start playing with dolls or something, or 3 years old, and boys have military equipment or something as toys, and that makes them what they are. Maybe that's not it. Maybe that's actually kind of a juvenile way to look at the question. So anyway, so there's some stuff on that, but that's not even my main point. It's not even the content of the memo in and of itself. It is interesting that D'Amore went ahead and did a couple of interviews, one with Stefan Molyneux and the other with Dr. Jordan Peterson, who's both of whom I've spoken to. I made my interview with Stefan Molyneux on his show into an episode of this show. I haven't had Stefan on this show up to now. And then, I've had Jordan Peterson on a couple times. We all cheer Jordan Peterson. I realize that Stefan talks about some controversial subjects, but I like him. I think he's smart. I think he's relatively quick on his feet. I think he's interesting to listen to. And I don't care about, oh, wow, he talks about controversial subjects. Oh, wow. I just don't care anymore. So what? You know, lighten up. It's some subjects are absolutely forbidden and others are allowed, and it's all ideologically driven and it's annoying. So everybody just lighten up. But certainly there's, what could you possibly find offensive about Jordan Peterson? I mean, the guy is literally fighting for free speech in Canada. That is literally what he's doing. And so it was, I promise I won't keep doing this, but somebody brought to my attention that apparently to make sure we all understand, because we were wondering if Steve Horowitz was a racist and a sexist. We were all wondering about that, and we were waiting with bated breath to find out whether or not he was. He posted the other day a link to an article saying, James D'Amore has already been on two right-wing shows. And so, we were told by Steve Horowitz, well, you know, this doesn't bode well for what his underlying beliefs are, because, of course, we all know deep. We got to get into the back of his head and find out about his thought crime. We got to find out what his secret beliefs are. We got to root them out. So, in other words, this article that was written, I don't know if it was in Slate or wherever it was, which was complaining that D'Amore had been on with Molyneux and with Peterson, is responded to by Horowitz, not with at the very least saying, well, surely there's nothing offensive about, for heaven's sake, Jordan Peterson. In fact, ever since Jordan Peterson's been on this show, I've been getting feedback from listeners saying, I've gone on and listened to his lectures on YouTube, and I cannot get over how brilliant this man is. But Horowitz basically allows this slander of Jordan Peterson to just pass. Instead of saying, geez, how dare they say these things about Jordan Peterson? Instead, it's, well, he was interviewed by Jordan Peterson, so, you know, that makes him suspect. Geez, Steve, we can't even like Jordan Peterson now? Maybe you could just make us a list. It would really, really make life a lot easier. Make us a list. Who are the people we're not supposed to talk to or listen to? Okay, just make it's going to be a nice long list. Okay, make that list for us. Send it over, and at least we'll know. Maybe we're going to defy you anyway, but at least we'll know. All right, next thing. Again, you can criticize private actors. I don't know why people think. I know why the general public thinks libertarians think that, because the general public knows nothing about libertarianism. What I don't understand is why other libertarians think you can't criticize private actors. So if I ever say, well, this was a bad move by such and such company, or they shouldn't have fired that guy or whatever, I'm told, wait a minute, how can you be a libertarian? I'm not saying they don't have the right to do it. Duh! I say that constantly. Of course they have the right to do it. But geez, that's pretty boring if that's the only contribution you have to the discussion. We're discussing the substantive content of something, and all you can say is, well, legally speaking, they had the right to do it. Okay, so there. So your contribution to the discussion is over in 5 seconds. Thanks so much for stopping by. The rest of us actually want to discuss the content of what's going on. And as libertarians, obviously, we can talk about anything we want. Now, as libertarians, what matters to us is the use of aggression. If aggression is initiated against peaceful people, we are against it. Just no matter what it is, we oppose aggression. If there is no aggression, well, we don't necessarily want to physically stop something. That doesn't mean that we have to approve of it. I mean, for example, I wouldn't want to use physical force against people who are late all the time. That doesn't mean it's not annoying. That doesn't mean I can't criticize them for it. If you're late all the time and I say, hey, quit being late, you would not be able to get away with saying, hey, Woods, I thought you were a libertarian. How are you criticizing me, a private person, for being late? What kind of a stunted mental existence is that? All right, let's move over now to my Twitter feed. If you're not following me on Twitter, you're missing a lot of fun. I'm at Thomas E. Woods. So Thomas E. Woods is how you follow me. Twitter.com/Thomas E. Woods. And sometimes I get into it with people, and I get into it with a left libertarian. Now, left libertarian is a vague term, and it can mean a number of things. But there's a particular group of people who call themselves left libertarians. And part of their approach is to be sometimes critical of corporate policy, internal corporate policy, of the wage relation. Some of them are of the belief that if we had a pure free market, you wouldn't see as much of, you'd see more, let's say, worker-owned businesses or anarcho-syndicalism or whatever. So they often accuse people like me of just being lackeys of corporations and just repeating corporate propaganda. So they say about people like me what basically the rest of society says about people like me. So it's what's interesting about this is that the very same people, now not all of them. In fact, I can only say for sure one of them, but a very obnoxious and prolific one of them in terms of Twitter and stuff, just the other day was saying, well, the market has spoken. Now, this is the same. If some corporation did some obnoxious thing, and I took that to mean the market had spoken, I'd never hear the end of it from these people, because they'd be saying, Woods, you corporate lackey, one company isn't the market. And even if that was the case, surely we can criticize it. So he's a complete hypocrite. Let me read you my little exchange I had with this fellow. If you are on my email list, you got this in your email inbox, because sometimes I take my little Twitter battles, I screenshot them, and I send them out to you guys for your enjoyment. So if you are not on my email list yet, think of what you're missing. Think of the brightness that would be added to your day if you were on my list. How do you get on that list? You go to tomsfreebooks.com, you pick out a free book, and boom, you're on the list. Okay? Beautiful. So I even give you a gift. You're getting a gift from me like every day when you're on this list. You also get a welcome to the list gift. Tremendous. Anyway, here is the exchange. I said, I use the word totalitarian to refer to the people and mindset involved here, which I think is a quite defensible word. I'm obviously a little bit of hyperbole, but reasonably defensible given the whole diversity regime where no one's allowed to question anything. No one's allowed to present any data. That's for sure. You're supposed to just sit there, accept every bizarre left-wing egalitarian claim we make, not question it, or you will be subject to, you know what happens to people. So anyway, this person responds, good to know Tom thinks the marketplace is totalitarian. The marketplace. So I'm talking about one decision of one company. So I responded, so libertarians can't even criticize corporate policy? That's a strange view coming from a left libertarian. Gotcha. Burn. Then he says, nah. So he's trying to tone it back down again. He says, it's just that calling the firing of some dude who is bad for business totalitarian is absurd. And then I responded, and yet if they fired a Black Lives Matter guy, I bet you'd be calling for boycotts. Damore is too good for those Orwellian creeps. Parentheses, is that word better? And by the way, if the memo had been about we need to hire more LGBT people and it were critical of Google in that way, I think the response would be rather different. People are saying, well, he was critical of his employer. Of course this will happen. But if he'd been critical and said, well, we need more LGBT people, I think the response to his firing would be quite different. But moreover, I don't think he would have been fired. I think he would have been put up on a pedestal. It's like, you can't even, as a thought experiment, imagine how that would have turned out, because it wouldn't have turned out that way. Anyway, getting back to the Twitter thing. So I had just got done saying, look, these people are Orwellian and so on. And this person responds, good thing the market disagrees with you. So we're talking about one company making one firing decision. He's calling this the market. So I responded, Google is a company, not the market. And then I said, meanwhile, we have a, quote, libertarian, namely this person, arguing against treating people as individuals. Because that's the point of the memo, is that instead of categorizing everybody according to some herd and herding them together and thinking of them as belonging to particular herds, why don't we treat each person as an individual? That was what the memo was about. And then I ended with this. I said, is that how you felt about segregated lunch counters? The market has spoken? Never got any more replies. Well, I think you know why. All right, now what does this all have to do with thick and thin libertarianism? Ugh. Well, we've got to address that. But first, let's thank our sponsor. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Hey, everybody. Harry's Razors are one of the things that have improved my life. I used to avoid shaving with a blade because for some reason I just couldn't do it. I don't know if it was my skin or I was just terrible at it or whatever, but I always wound up a bloody mess. And I didn't even get that good of a shave, and it was just didn't work for me. So I used electric, which for me just doesn't give that good of a shave, but it's better than the alternative. Well, now I get to use Harry's, and I have the best of both worlds. I get a close shave, and I look good, thanks to Harry's. That's why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Well, they are giving you a free trial offer. It's a $13 value for free when you sign up. Just cover shipping. You're going to get a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Grab that free trial set over at harrys.com/woods. Check it out right now at harrys.com/woods. Hey, everybody, we are back. And I want to say a little something about thick and thin libertarianism, because you'll hear these terms used sometimes. A thin libertarian is somebody who believes in the non-aggression principle. You shouldn't aggress against peaceful people. Should not initiate aggression. And the thin libertarian says that is the sum total of what libertarianism is. There is nothing else required to be a libertarian in good standing. A thick libertarian, on the other hand, would be somebody who says, yes, the non-aggression principle is fundamental, and without it, you can't be a libertarian. But there are certain supplemental conditions that, if not absolutely necessary, are pretty darn close. So this could be anything from an opposition to hierarchies, a support for feminism, a general moral support for egalitarianism or whatever. Now, on the other hand, thickism doesn't have to be just doesn't have to involve just left-wing commitments. You could have a right-wing thickism, too. You could say you need to have maybe a shared culture, although that's not necessarily right-wing, because I think almost everybody believed that at one time or another. But it could be something about families. You need families, extended families. You need tight-knit groups. You need a shared commitment to certain moral principles. Whatever it is, the point is you could be a right thick libertarian by arguing that the non-aggression principle is not quite enough, that a real libertarian understands that to really keep freedom for the long haul, you need all these supporting institutions. And likewise, the left-wing thick libertarian would say, if you're going to have liberty for the long haul, you have to fight other forms of oppression that are non-state. You have to fight those too. So that's what a thick libertarian believes. And I have somebody in my comments section on my blog who keeps saying that I'm being a thick libertarian every time I criticize something like this, like a firing at Google, because he says, look, this has nothing to do with the non-aggression principle, so why are you criticizing it? But the difference is I'm not saying that as a libertarian I must favor, you know, keeping this guy on at Google and oppose the firing. And I'm not saying that you're not a good libertarian if you support the firing of this guy. I'm not saying anything about libertarianism at all. Whereas I have heard people say, well, if you really want to be a real libertarian, you know, you've got to reject all these different forms of oppression like religion or whatever. I have heard that said. I've heard it said to me directly. And I am not saying that. I'm not saying that to be a good libertarian, you must take the following position. I'm just saying, look, I'm a human being who has an interest in a lot of topics. And in this area, my opinion is X. It doesn't have to do with aggression or non-aggression. I'm just a person who has a lot of interests. So that's all that means. So it does not have anything whatsoever to do with the thick versus thin libertarian debate, which is entirely separate from this and has nothing to do with this. I don't even see what the source of the confusion about this would be. People keep trying to explain this in the comments section. It doesn't seem to be having the success we might hope for. On my Twitter feed, I was seeing people retweeting, for illustration purposes, what some, let's say, more hysterical people were saying. We had people actually saying that the memo James Damore wrote was violence. The memo was violence. And then when somebody else said, well, when you respond in this way and you fire people and you clamp down on dissent, you're just going to have a chilling effect on free speech. People won't feel like they can speak out. And the response that I saw from the so-called social justice warriors was, well, good. Fascists should fear for themselves when they say fascist things. So it's fascism now. So now the word fascism is just, is being used more than ever, basically. Fascism is just, it really is anything somebody disagrees with at this point. And the reason I take an interest in this sort of thing is not that I particularly care about what goes on internally at Google, but because of what should be obvious to everybody, that this is part of a larger trend that's at work within government and outside of government. It's very much been given impetus by government and its so-called equal opportunity practices, where the employer who doesn't have a workforce that's exactly, you know, where all different minority groups are not in their exact proportion that they are in the population, that he's presumed to be potentially doing something wrong. He's got to explain that and defend that. And so if he requires that somebody have a high school diploma as a requirement for working at a particular place, you have to demonstrate that the high school diploma really is necessary to your line of work, because otherwise it's having a disparate impact on different groups and you're just using it out of racism. I mean, this is pervasive. And I believe government has been in large part responsible for making people crazy in this way. But it's all over society. And so I find this interesting. I think it should be talked about, because we have a situation here where outward conformity is expected without question. Nonsensical Orwellian slogans are to be repeated on command. Data of any kind is out of the question. Wondering about any of the basic claims, so for example, are employment and income discrepancies automatic proof of discrimination? Can't even ask that question, because the answer is yes, of course it is, you racist. But wondering about any of these basic claims is enough to subject you to the liturgical rite of shaming and expiation. It is a bizarre social phenomenon. Like, they're all operating out of the same liturgical book and the same ritual. We go through the same rituals every time. It's a very, very interesting sociological phenomenon. I don't see why people wouldn't find this interesting. And so that's why I find this particular episode interesting. I was looking on Twitter and there were a couple of very establishment beltway libertarians who were scratching their heads and pretending they couldn't understand why so-called right-wingers were so interested in this firing decision at Google. Huh, I wonder why right-wingers care so much about a private company's decision. Well, yeah, if you want to look at this on an absurdly surface level and not understand the deeper social implications of what's happening, and this phenomenon of shaming and expiation and of clamping down on dissent and of forcing Orwellian doublethink on everybody, if you don't find that interesting, or you're going to pretend you're not aware of it, then I don't think you're worth listening to. And with that, I am finished for today. That's what I have to say about that. We'll get back to episodes with guests starting tomorrow. I'll see you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.